Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, and always respectfully. Well, the Washington State Legislature is in session, and they're considering a lot of bills. Turns out that only about 1 in 7 bills makes it through to actually become law. So what attention is paid and what public interest is paid has a big part in deciding what becomes law and what doesn't. As always, you can be sure that the industries that are going to be affected by proposed laws are going to be there in force, and their voice will be heard. I'll make this comment again in this program, but the least effective voice is one that isn't raised. So raise your voice. I have a granddaughter who voted in the first election shortly after she turned 18. Not a particularly popular thing to do for 18-year-olds, it seems. But one of the things she's taken away is when she has friends who complain about something, she's come to telling them, "Don't come complaining to me if you didn't bother to vote." And so I guess I would say gently that it's difficult to accept complaining about a bill if we don't ever give our input to the bill. Once we give our input and the bill doesn't turn out to be what we want, or if our bill fails or whatever, okay, then let's complain. Raising your voice with the legislature is an easy thing to do. Just do a Google search for the Washington State Legislature, poke around there, and you'll find a page that's called How to Create and Send a Comment on a Bill. The reality is they want to hear from you down there. By that I mean those our elected representatives want to hear from you. They're certainly hearing from the industry guys, and it makes a difference to them, makes them feel good about their work if the constituents are paying attention. So connect with them. I'm going to talk about a few of the bills that are floating around in the legislature right now. Those are bills primarily related to climate, and that means, of course, fossil fuel emissions, electricity production, and those kind of things. So let's take a look. And as we do, I will say that these bills can be difficult to understand, bit difficult to interpret. So there's nothing wrong with making what I would call just kind of a generalized comment to your legislator. Comments would be things along the nature about, "I'm very concerned about the future of our climate, and I'm also concerned that whatever changes we make be equitable, that there be climate justice, that we provide for just transitions for those who are going to be impacted negatively by moving away from fossil fuel energy and related." So no need to be an expert on these bills to make your comment. I really believe that sincerity goes far beyond just a bunch of technical understanding of the bills. And the bills do evolve as they go through the approval process, the committee hearings, and the rewrites, and so on and so forth. So just expressing your opinion in ordinary, everyday language is probably the best. So I would suggest that you have a pencil and piece of paper handy. I'm going to give you bill numbers. The names can be a little bit convoluted and not necessarily talk about what the bill actually does, but the bill numbers are very specific, and you can find the bills to learn more about them, or if you want to comment on those specific bills. So here we go. House Bill 1050, House Bill 1050, basically is intended to reduce the amount of hydrofluorocarbons that are being released out into the atmosphere. Okay, fair enough. What the heck is an HFC, hydrofluorocarbon? Well, there are gases that are used in refrigeration, air conditioning, used in some manufacturing process. The problem is that they are many, many times more impactful on global warming than is carbon dioxide. Their overall impact is somewhat limited right now because they're very small concentration in the atmosphere, far smaller than carbon dioxide's concentration in the atmosphere, but they are immensely more potent, and they also last for a long time in the atmosphere. There really aren't any natural processes to pull them out of the atmosphere, and some of those HFCs will be in the atmosphere 1,000 or 2,000 years from now, and those are HFCs that we've put up in the air. Right now, an estimate is that HFCs are responsible for about 1/10 of the global warming impact from greenhouse gases. One of the committees that is keeping an eye on this bill is the House Committee on Environment and Energy, and it turns out our legislator Jake Fye is on that committee, so a particularly good leverage point for expressing your opinion if you want to get that fine-tuned. I've talked to Representative Fye myself personally on more than one occasion. He's a guy who's on our side, and he's interested in what you have to say, so let him know what you think. And once again, that's House Bill 1050. Okay, next, take a look at House Bill 1084. We're building houses. In fact, we're building houses at a pretty good clip based on my observations. And those houses are going to be around for a long time. How many homes in Tacoma are there that are 50 years old or older? A whole bunch of them. And the houses that we're building right now will be around 50 years from now, too, maybe even longer than that. So how we build them and how much attention we pay to their carbon footprint is a very important thing over time. So HB 1084 has got the intention of reducing the amount of carbon dioxide that's released by homes going forward into the future. This bill makes a lot of sense in another respect, too, because there may be bills coming down the road in the future as the consequences of greenhouse gas emissions become clearer and more politically unpalatable. There may be moves to require retrofitting of certain things in homes as a result. So the best thing to do is to be ready now to meet those expected future requirements and not have to go to the expense of retrofitting later on. Okay, here's one that tends to be somewhat of an oldie but a goodie. That would be House Bill 1091. The intention of this bill is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by reducing carbon intensity of transportation fuel. We are the only state province on the West Coast that does not have a clean fuel standard. This bill is intended to address that gap. Transportation is the number one source of fossil fuel pollution in our state, and reducing the carbon content of fuels with presently existing technology would be a great way of reducing our carbon footprint as a state, carbon that comes from our transportation, all the transportation, trucks, buses, personal cars, and so on. Okay, another bill that's out there, House Bill 1099, can be a little obscure to the layperson, but basically the way I understand it is the purpose of the bill is to encourage, require local governments to be part of plans for mitigation of climate change and to be a part of aiding and achieving the state's greenhouse reduction levels. You can take a look at that bill and see what you think. Okay, here's a bit biggie coming over from the Senate side. Senate Bill 5126 creates what is being called a cap and trade and investment program on greenhouse gas emissions. So the idea here is that a number of the major polluters in the state will find themselves limited in how much they can pollute, but at the same time, it's possible for them to buy essentially permits to pollute. The money from those permits accomplishes a couple things. One, it encourages those businesses to reduce the amount of their pollution, because if they don't, they have to pay for a permit to pollute at the level they're polluting. And of course, those levels are set and they decline over time so that the state can meet its fossil fuel emissions targets. Well, anytime we collect money for anything, the instant question is, okay, well, what are we going to do with the money? And that's the investment part of this bill. The bill is broad-reaching in terms of various areas that the money is invested, but the guiding principles would be to help us with our green infrastructure, i.e., that would be infrastructure that in and of itself makes it more likely, easier, more technically feasible to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. It also means that funds can be used in climate justice perspectives, taking into consideration that not all of us are impacted the same by issues of pollution and climate change. And this bill would allow us to address some of those inequity, injustice issues. Other uses for the funds would be a working families tax rebate. You know, we have a pretty regressive tax system in this state, and helping the working families with a rebate would be a small step forward, but a step forward nevertheless. The funds could be used for paying for clean transportation programs that reduce emissions, including purchase of zero emission vehicles, electric vehicles, basically, or providing refueling or grid infrastructure for them. And under the heading of transition justice, that is, workers who get displaced by changes in our energy system, there would be funds used to assist with that transition, include things like wage replacement, health and pension benefits for workers, and wage insurance for workers with more than 5 years of service. Some details that you could dig out for yourself, and especially programs that assist workers in moving to a different field if their job disappears because of these proposed changes. I would say this bill is controversial in some respects, and any far-reaching bill is going to have controversy around it. Everybody's going to be looking out for their own interests and trying to make the bill do what they can, which is fine. That's the way the system works. Not complaining about that. But sometimes we can spend so much time debating about what we should do, not get together, and we end up doing nothing. Paralysis by analysis would be one example of that process. So take it upon yourself to understand this bill and let your voice be heard. The bill has already undertaken some revision, and that process will go on, and that kind of leverages up your voice in terms of being able to have some impact on what the bill looks like while it's still in the formation process. And just an aside here, while I'm talking about leveraging up, you know, most folks are not going to talk to the legislature, so that's sad in a certain respect, but it's good news for those of us who are willing to go to the legislature and give our opinions, because that means, in terms of the overall population, our points of view are expressed, have an impact, while others can sit quietly by and just take life as it gets handed out to them. Now, because this bill is a big deal and it is far-reaching, you can bet that industry is out lobbying against it. There are 130 companies that will primarily be affected by this bill if it becomes law, and it's going to add up to $1 billion a year in taxes. So a big deal, and their voices will be expressed. So that's a quick overview of some of the significant bills that are pending down there in the legislature, and they will be moving along, and we need to pay attention to them. The important thing is that we raise our voices, and as I've said, just a general statement is fine. You don't have to be fine-tuned. You don't have to be an expert. And by the way, if you're worried about talking to a real human being who might question you or whatever, for the most part, when you leave a message off via phone, you'll get a automated system. And of course, if you send an email, then that'll just be an email. And you can get assistance in understanding these bills and organizations that track them along to see how they're doing. Watchdog organizations, you might call them. I'm talking about League of Women Voters or somebody like 350 Tacoma. Go on those websites or their Facebook pages, and you can get guidance on what's going on in the legislature. So just to finish up here, to repeat myself, the least effective voice is one that isn't raised. So let's raise our voices. Let's have an impact. The bills that are passed or not passed will have an impact for years to come. So that's it for today. I would love to hear from you. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. CCL stands for Citizens Climate Lobby. I am an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby, and I would love to hear from you. So, as always, calling on you to live like the mountain is out. Take care.